Good morning, Florida Panther fans. Still reeling from last night's game, I'm sure, against the Philadelphia Flyers. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot to lament, a lot to discuss, a lot to give ourselves some group therapy about from that game. Whew. Against the Philadelphia Flyers. But it's another game night tonight with the New Jersey Devils. So we got to get past it. We got to move on to the next level here. But welcome to Locked On Panthers. Excited to have you here on the show, listening and enjoying the talk. Normally, I'm joined by my good friend and yours, Frank Rikus. But Frank had another engagement for this podcast, and so he was not able to be a part of it. My name is Josh, by the way. I'm part of PantherParkway.com, and normally I would introduce Frank at this point, but Frank is not appearing on the podcast today. But I do have a co-host, a guest, a friend of the show, longtime co-host of our original podcast, Panther Parkway Radio, and he's joining us today. Please welcome the legend, David Lasseter.
Thank you for that very, very outstanding intro. Far, far better than I probably deserve. But thankfully for the listeners out there, I have no life and I'm always available. So I thank you for giving me a ring here. It's always nice to come back and talk a little bit of hockey, although not really a game tonight. Last night we're celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but I'm celebrating the fact that you're here, Dave. I mean, I love having you on the show. We've had a lot of fun times over the years talking hockey and Star Wars and music and everything else that we have in common. So good to have you here, and thanks for being available. And we're all glad that you have no life so that we can chat with you on the podcast today, and it's not just me talking to myself. So hey, the Florida Panthers obviously having a rough night last night against the Philadelphia Flyers. Off the bat, things were looking pretty good for the Panthers. Mackenzie Weegar getting that first goal of the game on a wicked slapper from the point looked pretty good. But ultimately, the Flyers were able to rally back pretty fairly easily. And, the Philadelphia Flyers take the victory, which puts the Panthers now in a tough predicament as far as the playoffs go, because the number one competitor for the Florida Panthers playoff spot, which right now the most possible spot, continues to be that third spot in the Atlantic Division. The Toronto Maple Leafs have played 56 games, and now with the Florida Panthers loss, they have played 55. So still one game in hand, but the Panthers have lost a little bit of their advantage as they look to rack up points and get back into the playoff hunt. But the big news, Dave, before the game, Mike Matheson being scratched by Coach Quinville coming into tonight's game, Josh Brown jumping up onto that defensive pairing. What do you think, Dave, about this this move, scratching Mike Matheson and then coming out and giving the effort that they did last night?
I mean, I think it's probably long overdue. I think Mike has had a rough go of it probably for the last season and a half. He's shown, at the beginning of his career that he's capable of being a very good NHL defenseman. And I'm not saying the two are related, but ever since he signed that contract, which probably shouldn't have been offered to him, at least with that term and that term and that money, it's been a struggle for him, and the guy that we thought was, was a good young defenseman and somebody to help build around, he's just kind of been floundering, and maybe this will clear his head. I don't have a whole lot of confidence that that's going to, that's going to happen, that somehow he's going to get his game back. It's probably going to be the first of many. Not that throwing, Josh Brown in there is a better alternative, because obviously Mike Matheson is certainly more skilled. But you have to do something here, and you're scratching this guy and this guy, and eventually, the team's going to have to make a move one way or the other, especially on the blue line, because you can't keep hoping to scratch one guy and that'll ignite them and keep doing that, because eventually it's not going to happen and you're just going to have a bunch of guys who have no confidence and basically just aren't playing very well, and that's certainly Mathisson. He hasn't been playing well at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where he hasn't been playing well, but representatively, the whole defense corps has not been very good, and he just seems to be the kind of the whipping boy for that, which is unfortunate, because like you said, I think looking at Mike Mathisson as a younger player, he had a ton of potential, and I still think he does. I think in the right team, in the right environment, he could definitely still be a major contributor. But now you're in a situation where you're scratching Mike Mathisson, which does a couple things. One, it does instill this idea of there's going to be accountability for mistakes. But on the other hand, you know, you have to weigh that and balance it with, are you ruining this kid's confidence now? You know, and his ability to make decisions. He plays a very stylized form of defense, which is probably the major issue. We've talked about this several times on the show, Dave. I'm sure you've thought about this too. But the Panthers right now are playing a very loosey-goosey, for lack of a better term, you know, run-and-gun form of defense, where they're trying really hard to make strategic poke checks and get the puck up the ice the other way to lead to a scoring chance, which when you play that style of hockey, you're leaving yourself open as you remove physicality from your equation. You're leaving yourself open to be beat and turnstiled. And of course, that's exactly what's happened a couple times very visibly to Mike Mathisson. And it's probably what has led to his healthy scratch. Unfortunately, what that also does, though, is diminishes the trade value for Mike Mathisson, because now you're looking around trying to say, okay, you know, who wants to make a trade for Mike Mathisson? Well, first of all, he's signed forever, so there's some cost certainty there for a team that wants Mike Mathisson, that they can have him on that somewhat team-friendly deal for several years. I think it's he's got 7 years left on his deal, seven or eight, I think seven. But in addition to that, you've also got this situation where if the Panthers don't want him, you know, what? How's that going to build value for another team that's looking to make a trade? So it's really a mess on all levels. And the Florida Panthers defense last night against Philadelphia looked just as soft as they have all season. They're just not doing a good job of edging off the attacker. And so because of that, Bobrovsky is being opened up to just insanely high probability scoring chances, which is really not fair because he's getting the brunt of the criticism due to his save percentage and his goals against. But yeah, it's been looking really rough, and it was another rough game in Philadelphia. And this there comes a point where we have to maybe file a missing persons report, Dave. There's a missing persons report that needs to be filed for Florida Panther fans. Where is the offense? This highly touted offense, it's missing.
It's still on the beach somewhere after the All-Star break. And it's concerning, because at the very least, you know, before the All-Star break, this team was one of the better goal scoring, if not the best, you know, goals per game average. And yeah, obviously the defense was bad, but things balanced down a little bit. But I think I saw the stat on the game last night. I think since the All-Star break, I think their goals per game is down to 1.8. And when you're as soft defensively as the Panthers are, and you're as very goal-friendly as the Panthers' defense is, 1.8 goals a game is going to get you beat almost every night, especially at this point of the year. And, you know, Huberdeau's had a little bit of a rough break since he's come back. Barkov was injured out for a couple of games. The best offensive number since the All-Star break has been Mark Pesek, you know, the hat trick against Toronto. And if Mark Pesek is your, you know, is scoring the most goals for you, you're not scoring a lot of goals and you're not going to win a lot of hockey games. So, you know, some of the other guys need to step up. I know we're still waiting for Vincent Trocheck to finally regain his goal scoring form. Everything else about his game has been, you know, has been fine, but he's got to score more goals. Brett Conley's kind of been kind of MIA, and you wonder at this point if they're going to kind of drag along like this. If there's a guy down in the AHL, I don't know if he's healthy or not. Last I saw, he was injured, but Owen Tippett's down there, a guy who can put the puck in the net. If this is going to continue on for another couple of games, you got to do something. Otherwise, things are going to get out of hand pretty quickly, and you're going to find yourself on the outside looking into the playoffs. And there's some pretty good teams that the Panthers have to chase, and they don't want to get too far behind.
You know, it's frustrating too, Dave, because we've talked about this a little bit, but you know, the Panthers had such a great offensive surge there at the end of the first half of the season, where they were literally the highest points per game team in the NHL, which looks great on paper until you realize that they were one of the worst defensive teams and had one of the worst save percentages from their goaltending. So you're scoring, but you're having to score and make games 7-6 or 5-4 every time. But you know, throughout that whole time frame that the Panthers were scoring at such an incredible clip, there was also this kind of overriding like puck luck thing. Like, hey, they're just getting lucky on some of these shots. And I know some of the advanced stats that have been released in the last week or so have talked about how the Panthers have had a lot of puck luck. They've had a lot of lucky shots or lucky chances that have led or great breakaways that have led to goals. That's not a way to live with your hockey team. It's not the way that you look for success. And to me, this is just so stereotypical of the last few seasons of the Panthers. Not that they can't score or not that they can't play good hockey when they want to, but that maddening inconsistency that says, you know, we're going to be really good one night and then we're going to not really try the next night. And when we don't have a good night, we're going to point back to a past night and say, yeah, but look how good we were then. Or, hey, let's make excuses or let's talk about this or we'll just come up with that, you know, well, it just didn't go our way tonight. You know, after this weekend's games, we finally got some, you know, feedback that was from guys like Vincent Trocheck saying, hey, we didn't try hard enough. Well, sometimes that's true, but it's not always a lack of effort. Sometimes it's a lack of skill. And the reality is the back end of this team is not skilled at playing defense. They're very, very highly skilled offensively. But they've really struggled on the defense side of it. And it's going to be a problem and it has to be addressed. So what do you think, Dave? You think this is going to be addressed here in the near future by the Panthers?
I think defensively, I think you have to, you know, it's 55 games in. This is who they are. Expecting them anything to change over the next, you know, 25, 30 games, it's not going to. This is who they are. And so at some point, you know, there's no help defensively in the AHL. So if they're going to do anything, they're going to have to make a trade. I don't know who they could get. You talked about Matheson's deal. I think he has 6 years after this year left on that contract, which is brutal. So I think your best chance is to maybe find somebody on another team who's maybe talented, but, you know, is having sort of a similar situation. I Ristolainen in Buffalo springs to mind. I don't know how willing they would be, you know, to trade that, you know, if the Panthers would have to take some salary, but, you know, keep some salary from Matheson's deal. But they have to do something, because if you're just going to go out with this with this defensive core the rest of the year, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're just they're not going to get better. You know, even if, let's say, Matheson comes back and has a little bit of a surge, they're still very poor defensively. Look at the second goal last night. Aaron Ekblad, just a complete giveaway. I forget who it was. I want to say it was Voracek. Just go right by him with the puck. Doesn't do, you know, if anything, reach out, stick your stick out and trip him. Take the penalty. You'll take your chance against the penalty kill, without leaving your goaltender on a 2-on-1 situation. And they buried that, and that was game over because the Panthers didn't get another goal. But, you know, if you're going to go in with this defensive core, you're not going to make the playoffs. You have to do something. I don't know who's for the taking. But Dale has to do something. Otherwise, you know, he might want to update his resume, because if he's just going to content going with these guys, maybe he shouldn't be here next year.
Well, as we look at that possibility of management change and things like that, I think it all comes down to this question. Does the management see the problem? It would seem like they do, because there's been some comments lately from Dale Talon talking about the defense, talking about wanting to find a guy to play with Ekblad. But there's a systemic issue here in the way that the team has valued the blue line players for their offense and not valued them for the way that they play positionally. This goes back to, Dave, we've talked a little bit here on the show about needing to bring guys in who have experience. Obviously, Anton Strahlman was a great step in that direction. A guy who's played a lot of games and really knows what to expect. And you can see that on the ice. When Strahlman's on the ice, you can see that he kind of knows how to position himself. And obviously, from years of playing in the NHL, it's helped. But the Panthers need to be looking for that. So I don't know that trading Matheson or even Hoffman or whatever the combination of assets is going away is really going to be a big help if they bring back a guy who is a young defenseman. They really need to be looking for an older veteran defenseman or someone who at least plays a very good positional game and can occasionally contribute on the offense. When you do that, however, if you mess with any of the forwards, you start to upset and change the chemistry up there. So I think what you were saying about calling up Owen Tippett or doing something like that makes a lot of sense in that way. But the reality is, if the management doesn't see that as being the main issue, then they're not going to be able to make moves that are going to adjust. And I understand that the call or the idea is you want to make a trade that helps you now and in the future. But the Panthers need help now. Barkov and Huberto are not going to be on these super team friendly contracts forever. You know, we talked about how last year both of them were within a point of Austin Matthews, and Austin Matthews signed an $11 million deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Both of these guys are in the $5 million range. So you're getting double Austin Matthews' offensive product for half the price, or for the same price, I guess, as Austin Matthews. You're getting two players with that same offensive product. So you can't now go into this season and next season going, well, we're trying to build, we're trying to get towards it. No, this is the time. Now is the time to make the big move. Trade a prospect or two. Maybe they're going to be really good, but we don't need them to be really good in five seasons. We need someone that's going to be really good right now to help the Panthers solve their issues. Agree or disagree, Dave?
I agree 1,000%. You know, kind of this year coming into the season, wasn't it playoffs or bust? And they have to get there. And I know things, you know, Boston's really good and Tampa's really good, but the Panthers need to find a way to be really good. And they're not right now. And I think they have to do something now. I haven't really looked as far as who might be available as far as defensemen on the trade market. But hopefully Dale Tallon has and said, hey, this guy could help my team now. Because, you know, they have a goaltender, you know, and the kind of offense where if they get into the playoffs, things get, you know, they could do some damage, even though they're kind of middling on the bubble right now. But I don't know who's out there. Who knows what calls have been made? Who knows what the price is at this point? I think we're still, trade deadline a couple of weeks away?
Yeah.
Is it the end of the month?
Yeah, just the end of this month. Yeah.
End of this month. Okay. So, you know, there's some time, but in the meantime, the Panthers could see, you know, their place in the division start to slide a little bit, and they can't really afford that because everyone's kind of expecting, you know, Toronto with the talent they have to kind of turn it on a little bit and pull away. And if the Panthers sit here for the next couple of weeks and don't make any deals and kind of things kind of go along as they are, it's not going to matter what they do on deadline day because they're going to be too far behind.
And you
mentioned it perfectly. You don't necessarily need a big guy who can staple somebody into the board. You need somebody who's positionally sound, blocks the shooting lanes, blocks the passing lanes. The big hits are nice and they make oohs and ahs and they look good on highlight reels. But beautiful positional defense is what wins you hockey games and what helps win you championships. And the Panthers don't have anybody, with the exception of maybe Strawman, with that kind of capability. We watched Matheson, I think it was Pittsburgh the other night, just get turnstiled on a Pittsburgh goal. I think it was their second goal. And it can't happen. It's happened, and it happens to guys every single night on this team. It's easy to single out Matheson, but it happens to everyone, 1 through 6, 1 through 7. They're not getting it done. You've got to do something. Even with Ekblad, you know, I was speaking with Bill Whitehead earlier today, and he pointed out to me that Aaron Ekblad hasn't scored in 30 games.
Crazy.
Last time he scored a goal was before American Thanksgiving. And when you're getting bad defense and you're not getting the goals, what the hell's the point? And I'm not putting it on Ekblad. It's a unit problem, 1 through 7 or 1 through 8. They're just not good enough.
Yeah, and we talked about this in the last episode of last week. We talked about how the problem is that it's a systemic issue, which tells me that bad behavior has been encouraged in the past, and it's having a hard time being corrected now. And I think that's true. I think, if you look at the way that Bob Bugner's San Jose Sharks have played, you know, the way that Brent Burns has made a name for himself and things like that. They've played a very run and gun defensive style, and unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for the Sharks, and it's not working out for the Panthers either. You know, it's an issue, and so, you know, I believe in Coach Quinville. I think he's probably the best active coach in the NHL right now. I think he can fix this. But there's got to be some strategy to doing that. It's not just going to fix itself. And we've gotten past the point now where we can say, oh, we got to give them some time to learn the system. Like, the time has happened. It's over 50 games now. Now is the time to crack down and play defensive hockey. You know, what's interesting is when the Panthers are on the penalty kills, when they play their best defense, they actually collapse down on the net. They clear the crease. I don't know what that tells us other than they have capability to play the right way. There just needs to be a shift in mindset, and they've got to stop looking for the home run pass. They've got to stop looking for the fancy play, and they've got to just play good, solid defense. So let me ask you this, Dave, as a Florida Panthers fan, short of winning the Stanley Cup, what do the Panthers have to do this season for you to be satisfied? Because, you know, some people might say, oh, just make the playoffs. Some people might say, hey, with the money you're spending, you know, at the cap, spending up to the cap, you should at least win a round. You know, but short of the Stanley Cup, what would satisfy you as a Panther fan as a conclusion for this season?
I would think you would have to win a round and be ultra competitive in the second round, because as you know, the way the divisional thing sets up, you would either be playing in the second round, you know, Tampa Bay or Toronto, because I'm assuming Boston's going to be, you know, Boston's going to be the number one seed. Although if they're third in division, they may have to play Boston. I think winning a round and being competitive into the second round, I think is, I don't want to say ideal, because I don't want to rest on the fact that, you know, not winning a Stanley Cup is ideal. But I, you know, show some, you know, get to the playoffs, win a round for the first time. What was it? Was 1996 the last time?
Yeah,
have they not won a round? Was that the last time they won play?
They've not gone past the first round since the run. Yeah,
and you know, and yeah, you could be playing Boston or Washington or whoever. Win a damn round. I mean, Columbus, for all that, you know, they did last year, you know, bounced the Bolts out of the playoffs. So it's possible, and we have the goaltender who helped make that possible. So I think you have to win around. I think you have to be competitive in the second round. I don't think, you know, just you win around and then you get knocked out 4-0 in the second round. You have to have at least some idea that this team, you know, isn't quite at its ceiling yet. Although, you know, as it's composed right now, it's kind of at its ceiling.
Well, you know, the major thing is, like you said, they can't just be satisfied with making the playoffs. And I think that's what's the real issue has been in the past, is just that being satisfied with not being the best, being satisfied with just making it and not looking beyond that. And I think that's what the real issue is going to be for the Panthers this year. It can't be good enough to just say, oh, well, we made the playoffs, so therefore, you know, everything's fine. No, it needs to be. You know, it needs to be a winning of a round, or at least whoever they play in the first round needs to be a really good game, a couple of games. You know, it can't just be, hey, we made the playoffs. Woohoo, buy tickets. Everything's fine. We're a playoff team. Like, we want to see them make success, you know, successful playoff run. And when we're looking at the careers of Alexander Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau, I mean, even Sergei Bobrovsky and Aaron Ekblad, when we're looking at all those careers on the line here, you know, there needs to be some sort of movement there. You can't just say, hey, we made the playoffs, so therefore everything's fine, and don't you want to come back and play for our team again at a discounted hometown discount rate, because, you know, you just love playing here in South Florida. That's not reality. And so they have to do something here, or they're going to end up in a very similar situation to the Columbus Blue Jackets with Sergei Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin, where, you know, some of these really good players are going to get to their free agent years and they're going to walk because they don't want to play for a team that's not winning. And Joe Quinville goes a long way towards adding credibility to this franchise. But we need to see Dale Tallon now step up and take a role as the general manager of this team to fix the team and get them ready for the next step. It's not just about coaching anymore. It's not just about the free agent deals, though he did some really good free agent deals, Nolichari, Anton Strowman. but he needs to go ahead and fix the problem here and not just sit back.
Agreed. And, you know, Joel Quenneville can, you know, his ability to coach can only do so well when it's the player that's the problem. You can't, you know, the old saying, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. And that's kind of what the Panthers defense is at this point, you know, and, you know, obviously the last few games, things have slowed down offensively, but it's defense that's the problem with this team. And it's gone about as far as it can with how they're composed. Now it's, like you said, it's up to Dale Tallon to do something. Otherwise this team is going to miss the playoffs again. And I agree with you about, you know, just making the playoffs isn't good. It's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually wearing a playoff shirt from 2012. For the Panthers. That was a time you say, hey, we made the playoffs because that team wasn't very good and we haven't made the playoffs in forever. That can't be the expectation now. There's too much talent. There's too much money on the line. There's too much money spent to watch everyone else go to the dance while we stand outside.
Yeah, by the way, season ticket renewal packages went out today. So, yeah, you know, it's an issue. And man, I really wish I didn't have to talk about this ever again, Dave. I really wish that I'd never had to talk about the Panthers' defense. I'm so sick of talking about it. I think you could probably feel that in our voices, you know, when Frank and I are speaking too. Like, you could probably feel that. We're so sick of talking about it, but we just want to see it get better. And I'm really hoping it does.
Yeah, I mean, as long as this is the defensive unit they're going to put out night in and night out, I mean, it's kind of beating a dead horse, but it's the truth. I mean, oh, it's a defense, it's a defense, you know, although, you know, tonight – or last night, the offense, you know, was sort of the problem. You know, they had a couple of really great, you know, chances on net and didn't even make Carter Hart make a save. But it's the defense. They have to do something. There's nothing in the AHL that's going to fix this. It's got to come through a deal. Let's see what he can do, because this is, you know, if Dale Tallon can't make this deal or make any kind of deal to better this team for the stretch run. You know, again, he might want to update his resume, and the front office might want to go around and start making some calls to see who's available.
Well, Florida Panther fans, Dale Tallon's looking to make a deal. I got a deal for you. You can subscribe to Locked On Panthers, your team every day, for absolutely free. Go to your favorite podcast catcher and go ahead and smash that subscribe button to Locked On Panthers. You can follow us on Twitter at Panther Parkway. You can follow Frank at Frank Rikus, and you can follow me at Josh_LOPanthers. You can also follow David Lasseter at David Lasseter to get his random tweets as well and enjoy the community there. You can also call us. We're going to have our Talk Back Thursday episode in just a couple days. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 954-228-0630. Again, that's 954-228-0630. That about wraps it up for this week's edition, or today's edition, I should say, of Locked On Panthers. So for Locked On Panthers, I'm Josh.
And I'm Dave.
Hey, you did it. There you go. Thank you for listening.